Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight. Always good to see Chris.
Thanks for having me in, guys. I appreciate it.
We do, no way.
Never had that before.
No, he's kidding. Chris is
no, he's hot.
Chris can be heard without mics. Oh, turn him down.
Turn me down.
Yeah, turn him down.
I've never had that before.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's going to go on for another year. No, you're good, buddy.
All right.
Don't move.
All right.
We'll move.
I'm right here, then.
We'll move your larynx. Right, Drew?
Larynx.
How do you spell that?
that was like a George Bush flub right there.
L-A-R-Y-N-X. Larynx.
Larynx. But it seems like
larynx would be
that. No, I invented what I pronounced was some sort of fireproof suit.
Yeah,
something that DuPont came out with and then got sued in the 60s. Larynx. I can't say it. Say it again.
Larynx?
Yeah. Larynx. Yeah. Larynx sounds like some sort of small animal that actually takes down gazelle.
Onyx.
With big eyes.
All right, turn Titus up. Sorry.
Speaking of that, we got the pandas humping in the zoo finally.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm trying to think of the best animals and the worst animals in terms of fair shake versus gotten screwed. To me, on the top of it is panda, and on the bottom is pigeon. Like think about
koala too is sort of got a weird rap. It's cute and cuddly. It's mean son of a bitch.
Is it pandas? Yeah. Pandas are like surly and slow and sort of vicious and don't do anything you want them to do. And they sit on their ass with their feet sticking in the air. And all they do is eat eucalyptus trees all day long. Or is that the koala?
Koala.
All right, what are they?
Oh,
they
also mean and
they
cute.
Eat bamboo.
Yeah,
all they do is eat all day and they won't hump. No matter how much we pay them, they won't hump. And then but everyone loves them. And then, like, the pigeons, they carry messages across enemy lines and stuff, and we just make fun of them.
Totally disrespected.
Flying rats.
Yeah, well. Yeah,
they're smart.
Yeah.
They're fast. We use them. What the hell do we use pandas for?
Pandas can't be a double agent like a pigeon.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine a carrier panda in World War I? You just strap a thing to it. Go like the wind. And the panda be like, F you. I'm eating. I'm sitting down. And don't expect me to F. Either. If you think I'm going to bang this other panda, you're sorely mistaken. I won't be doing anything.
We would be speaking German right now.
That's right. If there was carrier pandas.
Oh, my God. You're right.
That's right.
It's a chilling thought, Adam. Thanks for bringing it up.
The carrier panda. Everyone just close your eyes and imagine that horrible world. We would have lost World War I and II and possibly III. All right, so Christopher Titus is here tonight, always working on a charity.
Not always. I hate charity.
When we see him.
When I can whore the charity for the event, I come see you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I hate charity, so we started our own charity a couple years ago because what ends up happening is you're a comic and they go, hey, why don't you come to this charity? So you end up going to the charity and you're standing on a picnic table next to a freaking steam table with a sneeze guard and there's a guy with a flute next to you and you're supposed to, and then there's a game going.
Tell me about it.
And so I just decided I wouldn't do it anymore. And comics don't like to do it, but comics are the best for charity. So what we do now is...
They're the biggest draw, the best draw?
I just think it's easy. You know, it's easy.
Give them the best show.
Yeah. It's also quick, easy. Comics are, portable, very portable.
Yeah, band, you have to set up everything, and then they have roadies and stuff, and then are they donating their time because these guys are getting $9 an hour?
But nobody knows how to set up a comedy show either, so we started our own charity. I get the best comics. Last year we had Leno. This year we got Bill Maher headlining at the Alex Theater. We run a big theater, and we do it right so the comics want to come, because there was a comic, I'm not going to name him, recently did a benefit, and...
Elaine Boozler.
No, well, halfway through.
I know when you're talking about Elaine.
Someone stood up and said, I'll give you $25,000 to get off the stage.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not going to. And the guy's a really funny guy, really edgy guy. But, you know, when you get in that charity attitude, a charity audience is the worst audience. Right. So, by the way, if you want to go to the event, it's April 17th, 7 o'clock at the Alex Theater in Glendale.
No bids to end the act.
Yeah, if you've ever been to Muppets on Ice and thought it rocked, do not show up to this event.
We not
got
for you.
Bill Maher, Joe Rogan, myself and Alonzo Bowden, who won Last Comic Standing, and it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, a lot of anger on that stage.
Yeah, and all the money is going to a place called My Friend's Place. What I do is the Insight Children Youth Project is what it's called. Mm-hmm. Because Leno gave me a big lecture. It was called the Insight Project. Then Leno pulled me aside and he goes, hey, put kids in there. Put a name, kid name in there.
Yeah, get kids in there, yeah.
So I research a charity. This one is it's called My Friend's Place. What these guys are on the front lines. You know these guys, Dr. Drew?
Done them many times over the years.
They are on the front lines
great.
Of homeless
They've been around
youth.
For a long time.
Yeah, they are like, check your weapons at the door.
They also have they have web sort of computers for the kids. They have clothing for them. They get
they have
a storefront right there on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, but they open the doors during the day and kids, and I go, where do these kids live? And he go, on the 101 corridor. And I'm like, well, hell, I live in Sherman. I live on the 101 corridor. And he points to the bushes.
Under the freeway.
Yeah, he puts to the bushes next to the fence. And he goes, no, that's the 101 corridor. So these guys are really helping kids. And here's the other thing, too. You ever read the articles where the charity, like 10% of the money goes to the charity?
Oh, that's a lot.
Well, no, usually. We got 97% of the money. Only thing we pay for is the theater. The alcohol's donated, and we make money on the alcohol for the charity. All the money goes to charity. In fact, you don't even write a check to Insight Youth Project. You write a check to My Friend's Place. So it's a real charity. Balls Out Comedy Show, April 17th, 7 p.m. Now, I've heard the thing. Thanks,
guys. I got to say, it's not a lot of lip service either, because Chris told me off the air that as far as after the money comes in, as soon as he gets a new set of rims, every penny after that is going to my
and
place.
Not spinners either. I don't
not
go
the
all
spinners.
The way with $8,000.
Not the spinners. To me, the spinner, I don't know if I'll ever break down and get the spinner.
It's the bell bottom of the car world. And I think 3 years from now, we're all going to look back and notice it.
Well,
the suit of the vehicular experience.
I agree and have pointed out in the past that not a great rim for the brothers to put on the car, because the cop comes walking up, looks down, thinks the car's moving, just starts firing.
It's not,
Jews could have spinners. There'd be no problem
especially
with the Jews.
Especially in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, that's the last thing. That's the last message you want to convey as the guy's walking, doing that wide loop around the car they do with the dicey guys with the limo tin. And the triple chrome 24s on there. They see when they pull over a Jew, they walk straight. They hug the side of the car. They actually wipe the side of the sleeve along the side of the car. The brothers, they take that long, even with traffic, even on the freeway. They'll go 3-4 lanes out, swing around. Still safer. Yeah,
just
spinners.
Just clip the carpool lane and then come back to the car.
Yeah, then you step in. That's the protocol, Drew. Drew, what's up, buddy?
Good times.
Got stuff on your mind?
Oh, I do. I got to find. So listen to this. Yeah. I'm supposed to find somebody from our listeners.
I was just looking for a yes or no. Really.
That has gotten pregnant through without penetrative sex.
Mm.
Do you think that's possible?
You mean do I think it's ever happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not talking about immaculate conception.
I was going to say, I know one.
We're talking about trailing, special sperm that's made it through linen or made it through, crawled up the.
I was thinking more ceiling fan,
whatever. But yeah, but the I read some. These, my producers got some people lined up, and I read the one like, I was asleep, and my boyfriend sort of nudged me, and then he masturbated, and I was back. I thought, no, that's one of those dissociative things where they check out, and the guy has sex with, and they just don't remember it.
But it happens.
You and I hear all the time, they dissociate, they have sex while they're asleep and all that weird stuff.
Yeah, well, we find that sort of, I got pregnant without having sex is right up there with, I got fired for no reason.
Right.
As soon as you do a little scratching, you realize he stabbed the boss with number two pencil days earlier, and that's what caused his dismissal.
Their perceptions are all off.
Yeah, their reality's a little screwed up.
But I challenge somebody to come up and prove to me that they've gotten pregnant without penetrative sex.
All right.
Or to give me that story.
All right, but here's the thing, too.
How are you going to prove that?
I know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Challenge. Well, I'm not saying they're going to.
It's a challenge. Drew.
The gauntlet is down.
Yeah. All right. Drew, lay down the jizzlet, everyone.
Yeah. The jizzlet challenge.
You're going to navigate the jizzlet challenge. Really, it's like, the jizzlet sounds like a duster mop that is like, that just, it challenges a conventional sponge mop to a mop off.
Exactly.
The jizzlet versus your sponge mop, everybody. All right.
It'd be the jizzler then, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Well, the jizzlet's a smaller one for your car interior.
Okay. Right.
Cars, computers, stereo equipment, just right for camping.
If you order the jizzler, you get the jizzlet.
Okay.
If you order it right now, though.
I like the guys. I like when they're trying to sell stuff for your boat and your RV, and it's like, you're up at 4:30 in the morning debating whether to buy this Wonder Mop. You don't have a boat and an RV. Or if you do, they're the same vehicle.
Exactly.
You built it yourself out of CDX ply. Your wife's pissed. Boat, RV. I always get angry. I'm like, who's got a boat and an RV? They got both? Yeah.
Tommy Fu.
All right. No one knows who that is anymore. Brenda?
Anymore.
Yeah.
They never did in the first place.
Yes, they did. Brenda, here's the thing. Drew, you don't stay up till 3 in the morning watching
infomercials like I do. A lot of people don't. Very few people do.
No, they don't. Yes, they do. Brenda?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, my question is for Dr. Drew. When I was younger, I was sexually abused by my brother.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice guy. My thing is the thing he made me do was do oral sex for him. Mm-hmm. And now every guy that I have been with, you know, I want to do it. You know, I receive, I got to give it back, you know. I want to do it, but I just, every time I get, it gets down to it, I like just freak out. I can't do it. I get literally sick to my stomach. And I'm wondering, is there anything I can do to try and get that image out of my head?
Well, how old were you when this happened?
It started when I was about 8, and it went on till probably around 11.
How did he, how did you coerce you into this?
8 to 11.
It was just, we had a very messed up family to start out with. My mom's been married many times, and alcohol, I mean, everything you can think of. Little Hicktown, USA, you know, is where I came from.
Yeah. How much older is your brother?
He's 5 years older than me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, so, I mean, he's 13, you're 8, and it just keeps going from there?
Yeah, and I never, you know, our family, we weren't very close. I couldn't really tell my mom much. And then we moved away from him, and I came out to my guidance counselor because I was having lots of problems in school. And my guidance counselor got, you know, social services and stuff. And what ended up happening is my mom totally did not believe me. She said, basically told me that I was just a slut and trying to cover it up.
Yeesh.
And yeah, nothing ever happened, you know. And
so here's what we know, something happened to your mom.
Of course, she was a mess. But also Brenda heard the slut part. I mean, she didn't scream, you're a slut.
Right.
She's just like, she's in denial about
it. Right.
All right. I just got to say something real fast. It's weird energy. I mean, she must have with her brother now, like at Thanksgiving.
I mean, that's got to be a bad family reunion thing.
You had a bad family.
Yeah, you sup. Yeah, I know. That's why I love coming on the show. I always feel better about my life when I come on this show.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. And my mom shot and killed her last husband.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking, my sister, I had a Val Surf t-shirt that one of my sister's friends ripped off when I was 13, but my sister denied it, but I knew Mindy took it from my room. That was 25 years ago. Things have never been right.
Right. Between you and your sister.
No, bad blood. Yeah. Still weird energy.
Yeah.
Still
yeah.
weird. I can only imagine.
Stolen t-shirt. Yeah,
I only imagine with the oral sex, how the oral, well, it was a long sleeve t-shirt.
Well,
it would
be fair.
The point is, I can only imagine how oral sex would rank up there.
Here's the deal, Brenda. You need to avoid him and stay away from him. That's it. You shouldn't be around him at any time. Can we do that?
Yeah,
but what about the new guy?
I don't think that's the issue. See, here's what I have, because there's certain things in life you can just go, you know what, I have to make a decision right now that this isn't that. You know,
right.
That's the past that's coming back to haunt me. The problem is that an extreme situation like that, how do you just kind of, okay, this guy is not my brother, yet it's such a traumatic thing.
Well, it changes your brain.
Yeah, but how do you, does it changes your brain?
Oh, profoundly.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it changes how the brain functions.
Yeah,
not through contact.
Not through actual direct contact, no. Okay. It's not how the brain
functions. All right, listen, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I'm asking, too. That's why change your brain got me interested.
Palate is soft in it.
And lobotomy, the sort of like the ice pick action through the skull.
This is so wrong.
Yeah, but no, the fact is that kind of trauma changes. There's many different ways there can be change, and fundamentally, it's sort of a post-traumatic stress disorder that gets wired into your brain, and so every time you see that, you have a flashback, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Is this ever going to change?
Well, EMDR and biofeedback and intensive therapy and all that. When you're talking about rewiring a brain mechanism, it takes a long time and very intensive work.
How do you do it through EMDR? That's the light
thing, the eye
and biofeedback
thing.
And all that. Do you specifically work on oral sex?
They probably eventually get to that kind of thing. Ooh. Yeah.
So you literally have to change your brain. What if you just rode a motorcycle dangerously without a helmet and eventually you would whack yourself and just kind of...
That would change your brain.
Yeah, exactly. I was just saying that maybe you could clear that
part.
It just seems that you just have to go in. First of all, it's hard enough that she's having trouble with guys, but now she's got to go in and go, hey, the light flashing guy, here's my problem.
At least she can have a relationship and she's okay with guys and she can get as far as having, you know, an intimate contact with somebody. That's pretty good. Can you have stable relationships?
Yeah, well, I was married. I got married when I was young, got knocked up when I was young. and actually went through a divorce. And now I'm with a really, you know, I'm with a guy. I told him about it. I've been with him for almost 2 years, and he's totally understanding. I mean, he's
The fact that you have a stable relationship is very positive. That means you really don't have a serious personality disorder as a result of what happened to you, which is amazing.
Let's treat it like this, at the very least. What went on here is not much different than you getting in a horrible car accident when you're 12
napalm
or 10.
Your house.
Just horrible. And now you're calling and saying, I would like to play tennis and pick up basketball. What's up? The answer is maybe never.
Right.
Maybe never. But doesn't mean you can't be athletic.
That's
it doesn't mean you can't stay in shape. It doesn't mean you can't have a good life.
Here's
but
some,
this particular sport,
maybe
it's over.
So here's the deal. Avoid the perpetrator, which was the brother.
Yeah.
Avoid this action that causes the flashbacks. If you can continue to have stable and satisfying relationships, count your blessings. That means you're a fairly good personality construct. And just go forward. And especially since he's understanding about it, let it be.
Right. And the other thing, too, is maybe if you just let it go and say, all right, it's not on my menu. I'm not even going to think about it.
Let it go.
No, I mean, it'd be good if you could.
You can't.
They just can't.
It's just such a high level.
But what if you don't put the pressure on yourself for the present day in the oral sex?
Right.
Maybe just go, look, I can't do this right now. Forget about it.
Maybe someday.
And then let it come, pardon the pun. Don't try to force it.
Don't tell that to
the
boyfriend.
You'll get obsessed with it.
And would confronting the brother be like deal with that?
No.
How can we hear that? You cleanse it. You got to confront it and call him on it and blah, blah, blah.
That's a naive idea about how we work.
Well, that's why I'm on the planet.
I don't mean that you're naive, but I mean that people have that notion out there.
Yeah, I think that's
And the fact is it leaves a biological imprint, and that's not undone by merely doing something in the present with somebody.
Don't talk to me like I'm stupid.
It's right here, Drew.
I'm like, I can see you.
It's not
like
a phoner.
I'm not listening to the radio. I can actually see the look on your face.
Yeah.
Back to women who get pregnant without intercourse. Come on, let's get that.
I want to talk to Bradley up here who wants to donate a kidney.
Yeah.
Bradley?
I got a question for Dr. Drew. My friend has glomerular nephritis.
Uh huh. What kind?
End stage renal disease. Uh huh. Right?
Yeah.
And he's on peritoneal dialysis 4 times a day.
Right.
And
hang on a second. You guys have never seen that. It's a spigot in your belly, and you pour liters of fluid into your belly, leave it there for a couple hours, and then pour it back out again.
What's it do? Is it circulate?
The membranes of your gut actually work as a sort of a dialysis membrane.
Oh, really?
So the fluids are sort of adjusted to sort of take things out osmotically. It's interesting.
What if I blew pot smoke in there?
Nothing.
You sure?
We could try it.
Bradley, have you tried doing like a bong hit and then blowing like a French belly kiss where you blow the pot weed in, the smoke in there and see if you catch a buzz?
His friend had something called RPGN, rapidly progressive glomerulonephritis, which is a common, but a cause of kidney failure in somebody that age. It is just pow, it just happens all at once.
So,
do you know what the underlying cause of it is, Bradley?
No, I don't.
They don't know? I mean, he doesn't have good pasture syndrome, some weird syndrome like that.
No.
So you want to donate a kidney to him?
Yeah, he's like 40, and social worker told him he's going to be on the kidney list, like the waiting list, for like 2 years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife and all of his family members are diabetics.
Oh, my God.
And his brother has the same condition, and his kid could have the same condition.
Well, this is polycystic ovarian disease then, right? Polycystic kidney disease, rather. I'm sorry.
I was going to say.
Wow, you're like a superhero, Drew.
He's due to hit menopause soon, according to Drew.
No, polycystic kidney.
That's what he told me he has, so I don't know if he has something else.
Glomerulonephritis is not a heritable disorder. It's a.
Hold on. Are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
Good times. polycystic kidney disease is an autosomal dominant disorder, meaning you transmit it to your offspring.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
They have 100% chance of getting
50%,
it?
50%, I believe.
Wow.
And if you have 100 kids, they all have 50% chance.
Each.
All right. Hey, Bradley?
Yeah.
So you want to give him your kidney?
Yeah. And
is this going to work, Drew?
If he matches, do you match?
Yeah, I match, and I have the same blood type. And I just want to know, because my family doesn't really want me to do it, and they really just want to know, like, the risks involved. And
Big is that, Drew? I don't hear anything about people dying trying to give their loved ones kidneys.
No, it's a huge operation. It's a big deal.
Not necessarily dying, but what about the after effects after the surgery, long term?
Only have one kidney.
A friend of ours had it, and she, her weight changed dramatically. Some things happen, little things happen, but she gave it to her sister. There is going to be some changes, right? I mean, it's possible.
You only have one kidney?
He's to be down to one at that point. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but what a good guy, man. His friend's not going to walk around like a human keg anymore.
Yeah.
But, wow. I mean, that's a commitment.
Well, yeah, man, you don't hear about it with friends that often, but you hear about it with family members quite a bit.
Yeah.
God forbid when the Corollas need a kidney. That's rough.
Then you'd be...
Yeah.
Then you hear about the friends coming in.
No, it's like, we'll start looking at plots, but...
I'll throw us to charity for you at that point. At that point, we're going to have to pull the Inside Youth Program.
The Corolla Kidney.
It's like kidney program, yeah.
Yeah. What about it, Drew?
But what?
How long is the procedure? A couple hours?
I'm sure it's probably 3 or 4 hours and recovery
but
4 weeks.
They have it down now.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's a major operation. Let's be
it
clear,
is.
A major operation. And it's dangerous.
But it's successful.
Yeah, they're not riffing it. Like,
it's usually successful.
Right.
And you're down to, you have 50% of your kidney gone. You're meant to have two kidneys. There's a reason
you
we
are.
Have two kidneys. I mean, you can do without them. But, as you age, people live so long now. And one of the things we're seeing all the time after the age of 75.
Well, if he lends him the kidney.
Very good. Loan out. But after 75, people are getting a lot more kidney disease these days just for the result of aging and high blood pressure and various kinds of insults to the kidney. And so if you're already starting from a 50% reduction in kidney capacity, I could see where that would be a serious, serious issue in this day and age when people expect to live 85.
Let me ask you a kidney question.
The guy, his buddy who's listening to you right now is going,
it's a serious deal. He's got to just
I know, but are you calling because you
it's a
22-year-old,
too. Giving it to a 4-year-old. My God.
What's that?
Yeah. Bradley?
Yeah.
All right, so your family's obviously concerned about this.
Yeah, I haven't told my mom yet, but I've told all my siblings.
What's the nature of your relationship? You're hanging out with a 40-year-old? How'd that happen? How'd that happen?
I work with him. I've been working with him for like 3.5 years now.
What kind of work?
I work in the airlines.
Mm-hmm. What do you do?
I'm a ground service agent, so I work outside.
Okay. All right.
I was wondering who those guys were.
Yeah, the guys are roaming around on the tarmac.
The big orange earphones.
Yeah.
And
wearing the shorts
sticks.
And the knee pads all the time. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, never. It's always unclear what they're doing, except they get to drive that tractor thing around with the low boy cart on the back, and it always seems kind of cool. And there's something about being let loose on that in that area that you can't get into. I'm sitting in first class in a leather seat, looking at these guys running around the hot asphalt, going, "Sons of bitches, those guys are lucky. I got to get down there. How can I get down there?" And then you realize if I got down there, I'd be miserable.
Oh yeah.
There's nothing going on down there. Smell of like jet fuel and hot asphalt.
Well, I have a question. 3.5 years you've known the guy, Bradley?
Oh, let me get him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Three and a half years.
No, it's just what's going on. I mean, 3.5 years you've known a guy and you're like, I'm gonna kick in a kidney. Now,
right.
You
it's
know,
not like some of you've known your
yeah,
entire
what,
life.
What's the relationship? What's going on? I mean, that's a huge deal. Are you just a really nice guy? Because my ankle hurts and I might need a transplant. And if we match. I brought some laughter into your life right in the past. Come on.
Come on,
Bradley.
Buddy.
I get it.
That was in the past, though.
I know. I'm working on new stuff.
Yeah.
What's going on with you and this guy? I mean, what's going on? Just really good buddies?
We're not, like, exceptionally good buddies, but I think it's probably pretty corny, but you only get a couple chances to help someone out like this.
You're gay. All right, let's look.
Why don't you just come to the Charity on the Edge benefit on April 17th?
I'm going to ask a crazy question.
He's in Boise.
We never asked people about this.
Where's
his dad?
Where's his dad?
That's a good point.
Where's his dad?
Ooh, the guy's dad doesn't
Bradley's.
Match. Oh, Bradley. Where's your dad, Bradley?
He lives in Seattle right now.
All right. Let me say this. Charity.
Just feels like a guy who's empty, desperate for male connection.
Yeah. Bradley. Okay, but for some people, it's all they have. I could remember back before I was literally a millionaire and a C-list celebrity. I was a Catholic big brother. I was a point of pride for me. I would tell everyone I talked to, I'd just work it into a conversation, see
not.
If I could get laid.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. No, people are proud of working with people or donating or making a sacrifice. You know, I mean, really, it's what the military is oftentimes. People come home, they're like, well, yeah, we got shot at, but somebody's got to do it. And you think, wow, this guy put his life on the line in doing his job. I don't know, maybe it's worth more to a guy like Bradley in a certain sense. Mm-hmm. You know he's going to feel good about himself for the rest of his life. You know he's going to tell the story to 7 million chicks he meets at a bar. He's going to pull that Northwest jersey up. He's going to show them the scar on the side of the hip there. Where's your kidney, Drew? Up around between the shoulder blades?
Back.
Nothing going on. What's going on between the shoulder blades? Nothing seems to be going on there.
No.
I want to get something up there. Everything's down in the trunk. Let's get something up front.
Well, it's up front here.
I want to see some work between the blades.
Yeah.
The point is he's going to get a lot of mileage out of this. It's going to make him feel good.
Yeah.
Huge commitment to get laid, though. Huge.
Well,
I mean, like, I lied about being a jet pilot once.
Yeah.
and I was guilty for, like, weeks, you know, but, I mean, but wow. If you really do it, that's incredible. But, or you could.
Yeah.
Get a tattoo and then just tell the story.
Why don't you at least meet with a nephrologist beforehand and talk about what really you can look forward to? Because again, in a day when people expect to live to 85, kidney problems are getting increasingly common and they're serious, and you need to know what you're putting yourself in.
But listen, Bradley's going to get sucked into the inlet of a 777 before he gets to 85.
Fair enough.
Let's be honest.
Well done.
Right. And by the way, with the drug companies giving us all this great drugs and medication, that it really works our body that hard, cleaning it out. You're right. The kidney thing is really hard. Not to say anything. I know you don't make the drugs.
No, not true. He just sells them to the kids. He peddles them, pushes them. He's
pusher,
real.
Pusher.
But look, Drew, we got to go to break, but let me ask you real quick with the kidneys.
Yeah.
Is it like... Christopher's a car guy. Some cars, like trucks, will have two fuel tanks. You know, you use one, it's empty, you switch it over to the other one.
Yes. Yeah.
Kidneys working simultaneously?
Simultaneously.
You don't switch the tank?
No, you don't go back and forth.
So when you get rid of one of them's doing double duty.
Double time, yeah.
But, obviously...
You could do that.
You can absorb that.
You can do that. But, again, if we lived to 40, the way we're meant to live, you know, we're supposed to die at 40 in nature.
Yeah.
We were supposed to die at 40?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In nature? Absolutely. Ah. This whole business of living to 80 and stuff is not normal, not natural. I mean, we didn't evolve for that.
Right.
You know, menopause and all that stuff.
Menopause
wasn't supposed to happen?
We're seeing all this kidney problem, and we can do things about it, but, you know, they're quite serious.
But, you know, the Dodge Magnum, the new Dodge Magnum with the Hemi on the freeway, will actually take out four cylinders on the highway when you're cruising.
Oh, really?
And it runs fine. You know, it gets the gas mileage. So maybe you just get better mileage if you get half the kidney out.
Cadillac tried that like 20 years ago and it couldn't quite
figure it out. That was a 246. They were just taking any cylinder randomly.
Yeah.
I was just trying to go with your metaphor.
We got to take a break. Titus Knows Cars. I would like to do a show called... It'd be called Things They Tried to Do Before They Could Do Them.
Right.
And the Cadillac... 8864 thing where the cylinders cut out and everything, 1979. Sounds great, except for the computer wasn't really around and impossible.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
Incredible.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Christopher Titus here tonight. He is... in here with a very worthy charity. It's coming up in Glendale on this Sunday, the 17th at 7 o'clock. The money is going to my friend's place, and there's another name to that Chris will give you in a second. But Bill Maher's going to be there. Joe Rogan's going to be there. Chris Titus, of course, and Lonzo Bowden, who won the last Comic Standing.
Jillian Barbary's going to be there.
Oh, Jillian Barbary's going to be there. Yeah, and I've seen Bill in person. I've seen Joe in person. Both good comics in person. I've seen Chris. I saw the Norman Rockwell is Bleeding hour special a few weeks back on Showtime.
Yep.
Excellent.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, and we don't do it. By the way, come to the show. Don't be afraid. People get so they hear charity and they just get like, oh, I don't want to go to the silent auction. I don't want to bid on Frank Stallone's T-shirt that was signed and Joe Piscopo's ashtray. I don't want to do that. So we don't do that. We got your money at the door. Sit down, have a drink, enjoy the comedy show, and then get the hell out.
Yeah, and I went to one of those auction things with Drew, and the feeling is your first impulse is I'd like to get whatever I'm bidding on, and then your next impulse is please someone out. Bid me.
So
I have to go. You know, they had this thing. It was, you know what it was? It was a perfect thing, too. It was combat aircraft. You get in an aircraft and do little
off a carrier
action.
Yeah.
No, you don't fly off a carrier.
We had ones 1 year we sold off a carrier. The guy flies you out and then
that's a ride.
But they just.
Yeah, I think it's just a ride. Yeah,
you're not going to. Yeah. All right, let's launch them. I don't want to be in.
No, you don't fly it. I mean,
you got the steam catapult hooked up. Thumbs up is go. Thumbs down, we scrub it. Now, listen, it'll probably be dark by the time you land.
Yeah.
We got about a 30 knot crosswind going here. Now, once, if you don't hook, you got to go full throttle when you get on the deck.
You saw Top Gun, right? How many times you see Top Gun?
Full throttle when you go down. If the hook doesn't grab you, you're airborne again. We don't need you to drink. We'll have a chopper in the air.
And don't forget that the seas are rolling about 35 feet, so when you slam into the deck.
That's right. That'd be awesome. Yeah,
that would be a blast.
$180. Sure,
I got to fly with the Blue Angels. You fly one of them? Did you?
No.
Oh, that's crazy.
Blue Angels.
It's insane.
Oh.
Because they're all cool. I mean, I puked. They have a camera on you, so they actually are videotaping you puking. And the guy goes, we get them puking. First of all, we strafed. We're out in the desert. We didn't strafe. We actually went over a prison, a workyard. He got really low and then hit the afterburners.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then he does a dive bomb run. He goes, yeah, we can do a dive. You want to do a dive bomb run? And I'd already thrown up. So I was like, yeah, I'm fine now. So we start doing this dive bomb. And
you threw up the rolling?
It's basically a control. You just, everything you know about airplanes, you're crashing. You're great. And I'm going, okay, I get it. And he's going, no, we're not there yet. And we're literally, there's like rabbits looking up. It was so close to the desert floor.
How high up did he start off, and then how close to the deck did he get?
I think we started about 14,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, maybe lower than that. And then he just went, it's straight down. And everything you know about airplanes is, your anus is just squeezing shut, and you're just, it's horrible. And then we get back up
But when you go back up, your G suit's got inflated.
Oh, it's horrible. Well, he's like, all right, just squeeze your legs because you got to tighten every muscle in your body. They didn't give me a G suit. I had a jumpsuit.
No.
Yeah. If a spark had ignited me, I would have just went up because I was in a cotton jumpsuit.
What was vomiting from the rolling and stuff? Or?
Yeah, we rolled. No, it's just a jet. He goes.
What made you vomit?
That was in a fighter jet.
But I mean, some particular move made you throw off?
No, when he takes off, they take off at like this crazy angle, everything he did, it was just, and then they let me fly it.
Really?
Yeah, they don't do that anymore, though. I was like, before the civilian program got canceled, because it seems one of these civilians remember that submarine that hit that Japanese fishing boat off of Hawaii? Turns out it was like someone guessing, hey, you want to drive the submarine? No. And they hit a fishing boat and killed a bunch of people.
No.
Yeah, they don't let you just take the wheel anymore.
Yeah. Stick.
And that carrier crash that program they had for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Landing on a carrier.
Well, what is that, an F-16? What do they fly over there?
F-16. Yeah.
That is awesome.
It was crazy.
What an experience. It's amazing.
And the guys are cool. He got out, no sweat on him. No sweat, perfect smile. Hey, how'd you like it? I get out, man, I have pictures of me. My hair is sticking up, man. My butt's rolling down. I got puke on my shirt.
Not
exactly Top Gun material, my Titus.
I would gladly do that and love to do that. The only thing that scares me is these guys are keeping score of who they made vomit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Titus cracked him like a pinata.
Oh, yeah.
Four seconds into the flight.
But there was a jockey who took the flight before me, like some horse jockey, some flight, mm-hmm. won some race. He didn't puke.
Yeah. Well, there used
like
to
3H,
be jostled.
He was fine.
Yeah, no. He's just, that's just like putting like a toiletry bag in the seat behind you, strap it in. It's not going to vomit. But the point is like, I would love to do it, but I'd just say to the guy, look, you don't have to show off. Just do your thing. I'll be here. You know what I mean? Don't go sick here. Just,
yeah, sure, Mr. Carlisle.
Yeah, I know.
See, I'm an idiot. I told him. I actually said make me puke. And he was glad to just jump in with that. Yeah.
Oh, how awesome. Tula?
Tala.
Tala?
Yeah.
Tala? Tala?
How do you say your name?
Paula.
Oh, Paula. Oh, they started with a T.
Nice.
All right, Paula. What's happening?
Hey, how's it going, Adam? Oh, my God, I'm so happy to finally get to talk to you.
All right, well, go ahead.
Here we are.
Well, pretty much, I feel like my whole 20s have been shot. Actually, I've been using drugs since I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
I started off with speed and alcohol, and I'm now smoking pot. I smoke about an eighth a day. I've been going through therapy and everything, and I don't know, I've been having a really hard time. My boyfriend, in fact, passed away of heroin. He OD'd about three years ago.
All right, so listen. You've been, you undoubtedly, you can't go that long hardcore and not get in some treatment. So you've been treated before? in a program?
Yeah, I have.
And why didn't you stay with it? Why didn't you do what they need you to do to get sober?
Well, I tried doing it sober, and honestly, when I leave the meetings, I feel like crap.
Yeah, Paula, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's why you use. Sobriety is not about feeling great. It's about digging through these horrible feelings until you learn to regulate them on your own.
Eighth a day of weed is a fair amount
of
weed.
That's a lot of pot. But here's the deal. One thing I know about people that need inpatient treatment for chemical dependence, you go to Hoag?
I've just been doing therapy, 101 therapy.
Okay, well, 101 therapy does not do anything for addiction,
and
unfortunately.
And I've been going just to Alano clubs, the 12-step meetings, but I found that even NA meetings don't really...
Paula, you've
undoubtedly had a trauma survivor. This is the one thing about people that have sort of difficulty getting with the program and have very long-standing intensive polydrug addiction since early in adolescence. You can pretty much predict in my world, if you come into my program, there's 100% probability that you have physical or sexual abuse in childhood. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So what happened to you?
And exactly just what you said. You're going to have a field day with me. I grew up really bad. I was abused by my father's son. I was taken away from my family when I was five. There was a big...
All right, it's a big deal. This is a big deal, Paul.
You're abusing yourself.
You're going to need to go somewhere. You need to be in a highly structured inpatient and residential program for a long time. This is not going to get better. You're not going to be able to do this without a structured program. You're not.
I've seen Dr. Pinsky. I've seen patients. Yes, in fact, my boyfriend was a patient of yours. And I've seen people go in and out. I've been in and out, and I'm scared that it's something about me, and I don't want to die.
You're going to die on the road you're on. The problem is until you understand and believe you're going to die, you probably aren't going to get with the program.
And you also, I don't want to interrupt you, but there's some people that have an addiction, and for some reason, it becomes the one thing in their life that they have stories about, and you can hear her talking about it, and she's talking about it like, and then I did this, and then I didn't, and I'm telling you a cool story. Like, it's her cool story, man. And I know some
guys
in AA.
Donation.
I know some guys in AA that same thing. They go into AA, they talk about AA constantly, and then they go off the wagon again, and then they talk about that constantly, and then they're back in AA and they talk about it. You have to just kind of face that. Nobody really. The bottom line is you're going to end up killing yourself. We had a comic, Mitch Hedberg.
Loved it.
Took himself out. Great guy. Funny. Hilarious. Took himself out. Just couldn't stop. Yeah, and that's what's going to happen. By the way, that's what's going to happen.
Here's the other addiction. The disease process is fatal commonly.
Yep.
And if you don't really intensively participate in the treatment process, the disease process takes over. And even when you do go into treatment, that doesn't mean that it's going to change the course. You have to very seriously commit yourself to it.
Yeah, you can't treat it like, oh, I'm in treatment now.
Yeah.
And that can't be a story. Right,
or that's going to fix me.
Yeah.
That's not going to fix you. You have to go participate. But
all right.
Stop agreeing because you haven't done it.
Yeah.
Stop agreeing.
And you're high.
You're high right now.
It says here in your Newport Beach, California, Hoag has a good program. There's Sober by the Sea. Go down there. Check these things out.
Sober by the Sea sounds like it's a great brunch.
Sober by the Sea.
where do you want to go for Sober by the Sea is great. I got the bottomless shrimp platter over
it's
there.
Overlooking the
awesome.
Ocean. Nice.
Have you been in an omelet bar at Sober by the Sea? Awesome. Guy makes it up. Whatever you want. You want bacon and Swiss or bacon and American? Doesn't matter. He'll put it right in there for you. You just stand there, makes it while you watch.
Yeah, it's a disease like any other, and it has a predictable response to treatments. And you have a certain intensity of disease process. Paula's got very severe disease. It requires a certain intensity of treatment. If she had oat cell cancer of the lung, she wouldn't be arguing with me about what she needed.
Right.
He'd say, this is what you need for that, or without that, things don't go well.
Or say, I know, and not do it.
And not do it.
Look, when I was doing drugs pretty heavily before I fell in the bonfire, and I knew it was not, there was no upside. I knew, you never admit that, but it just, when you hear people talk about it, I get a little frustrated and angry because, like, Mitch just died two weeks ago. He died, and because he was one of those guys, it was just like, he knew. Mitch was a smart guy. He knew, and just kept doing it. And when you hear people talking, and I know, then why are you calling us, and why aren't you in a program? Let's go. Don't die. There you go.
And this ain't...
By the way, I'll be a lot funnier at the benefit.
No, no, that's good. It's soft.
I just keep
It's
mad.
Compelling.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Tell us a story about your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, get ready with the hi-hat, because Ty's going to be like, my dad's this severe alcoholic that defeat me ritualistically. My mom stabbed her second, third, and fourth husband.
Killed the fifth.
Come on,
I fell into a bonfire and burned up when I was 17. See, you got to do a little bit more. You got to put a little more on the end. Go up at the end. Up.
Yeah, my mom got to the part where she bottomed out. She was shooting coffee grounds.
Oh, man. It's the end of the world.
Yeah.
It's just coming apart.
All right.
I didn't even know we're supposed to be dead at 40. I didn't see every day is a fresh day. Every day is a day I didn't even earn.
That's right.
But as we evolve, I mean, average life expectancy would have been late 20s, early 30s.
Wow. I mean,
without evolution.
Without modern
medicine.
Science. Without medicine.
Well, didn't they say that like it's going to go to 120? Like we'll be able to live to 120?
Yeah, but that is so much BS, I got to tell you.
We'll be like C-3PO just walking around.
Yeah, wait. Go meet a few men in their mid-90s. Go talk to males in their mid-90s.
Yeah, the Pope. I mean, Pope, 84, wasn't really kick. Wasn't, you know, no more racquetball is all I'm saying.
Right. 95 in a male is a very wretched condition.
Yeah.
You don't
want
to live that for 15 years.
I don't think the Pope died. I think the world's coming apart so bad he just pre-boarded.
Early boarding?
Yeah, he just knew what's coming. I'm leaving first.
I like...
thank you. Very nice. I actually throw a joke and I get screwed.
I don't know. I was kidding earlier today, though. There's, you know, Cardinal Laws in there.
Could you believe that? He ran the funeral. Cardinal, the guy that led all these priests, like over, what, 520-something cases of child molestation, actually did the first funeral for the Pope, did the first one in the first services.
I just like the idea that his name is Cardinal Law, which is sounds like a UPN show, where, first off, Cardinal Law has a thing where he wears the big vicar hat, and he pulls it out, and there's a sawed-off. And he does a weird spin move when he cocks it. He spins it around. And his line to everybody before he snuffs them, before like he gets to the perp or he snuffs the drug pusher out, he goes, I want to introduce you to my boss. And that's what... That's the whole thing.
Yeah, tell it to my boss.
That's his whole line. Tell it to my boss.
Don't kill me, man. Don't kill me, Cardinal Law.
Tell it to my boss. Notice how he did a black guy? Oh, no. That's enough.
Scary.
We'll take a...
Man. I was doing an homage to Dirty Harry.
I got it.
The Korean guy.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Chris Titus here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline, Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Christopher Titus is here tonight. He's got himself a little charity, and they're going to be doing some great work this Sunday, April 17th.
Yeah, Bill Maher's doing his HBO special. He's actually working on his HBO special, so you're going to see all new stuff, and he's going to do the whole show, actually.
Bill is excellent stand-up, as well as Joe Rogan and Alonzo Bowden, who won the last Comic Standing. Yeah, Bill and I did stand-up together once for a charity that he was doing. It was excellent. We were going to do a Loveline bit. He was going to be Dr. Drew, and I was going to be moi. And it was about a minute before we were going to go out on stage. It was like the Comedy Store, and it was packed. It was the Improv. I said, Bill, you want to work out the beats to this thing before we go out on stage? Because I don't really know what we're doing. And he's like, yeah, let's go up front of the theater and work this out. Walked out in front of the theater. He blew a joint. We went back in. I was like, now you're high, and we've not worked this out at all. At least you get to be high. I'm like, that was working it out, you getting high and us going on stage? This is worse than doing nothing.
That's going to work out. How'd it go?
It was one of those things, it was like out of a movie. Like, we went up there, and it was like, this is going to be great. Don't worry about it. Went up there first 2 minutes. It was like, what the hell's going on? This is horrible. And then somehow got into it, and everyone got into it. And 5 minutes later, everyone was laughing. So ended up working out. But I just remember thinking, man, I wish I was high. Like a minute and a half into it. I could see going out on stage drunk, but high just seems tough.
No.
Yeah.
The only time I ever almost got in a fist fight was I had two beers with me, and I went on stage. And, you know, you lose... Because I have that thing. My dad, you know, my dad was a raging alcoholic, so I have that little anger button that just clicks on.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny little heckler lines that usually kind of make the audience laugh,
mm-hmm.
The audience knew that I was really, literally going to jump off the stage and punch the guy in the throat.
And
the funny kind of killed it a little bit.
Couple beers. I wonder what percentage... I know, Drew. Let's just talk. We got plenty of time for calls.
Right.
You know, you do hear about
the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah. A lot of performers that just have a shot before they go out there,
I can't
or just
that.
Something. But just they don't get drunk, they don't get loaded. They just have something to take the edge off, or whatever it is. I'm sure back in the day, 60% of them would do that.
No, I'm a retard. I can't. No,
I don't think I can.
My facilities
either.
About me, man.
I agree. Like, I already look at, like, I'm already operating with a deficit because of my, you know, junior college education and the horrible, I think my mom sucked on ether when she was pregnant and stuff like that. I'm already
I have pictures of my mom sucking on ether, so there you go.
Oh, really?
Well, it's a home movie.
You got
so a picture, actually. No, it's actually
firing a pistol.
We have a question for Chris from for Joe, but we got to take a break. Joe? Caller Joe, who's 28 years old, wants to know if Titus is coming out on DVD.
Yes, September. September, the first two seasons of Titus will be out on DVD. Yes,
oh, really?
It will.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
there you go.
We start filming a movie, actually, in June.
Oh, wow. Great.
Cool. Not a Titus movie. It's a, you know, remember the movie Bachelor Party of Tom Hanks?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that movie without Tom Hanks and not as much depth in the script.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm just so relieved you didn't say... On steroids.
Yeah.
I can't stand that
with
one.
An edge.
Yeah.
Or with an edge.
On acid or on steroids? Imagine
extreme bachelor party.
On steroids. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. Chris Rattay here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Chris Rattay is here tonight. He is here. Not because he's trying to move product or sell some workout video or some nonsense like that. He's trying to raise money for a very, very worthy cause and a very worthy charity.
God, I hate when you get this serious.
Well, it's important.
It makes him feel guilty.
It really fucks me.
You can.
Nah, let me tell you. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear you just start ripping on me or something.
Hey, he's a good guy.
I got pink eye, by the way.
He's got pink eye. And,
by the way, if you have kids, I keep interrupting you, man. I just can't stand you going on the tirade.
No, please, when you're doing the We Are the World thing, Adam,
I can't take
it. I'm sorry. Go ahead. When you have kids.
Yeah, you get weird viruses. No, it's like they're like diseased rats when you put them in school. There's a little habit trail. They put them in a pen. They run the habit trail with the little kids, and they rub diseases on them, and then they come and hug daddy.
Absolutely.
And now I'm getting sick every day.
I mean,
I love you, honey. I love you if you're listening to daddy on the radio, but... A little disease rat.
Adults from like 30 to 40 are sick that whole decade when they have kids.
Oh, mm-hmm. I've never got pink out of my life.
Yeah. Now, next time, tell your boyfriend to be more careful.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
That has nothing to do with the kids. He only had the kids as a front.
Beards, little beards running around.
My beard does very well.
So this Saturday Night Live cartoon about Michael Jackson.
Oh man, that was brutal.
Were we talking about that on the air or off the air?
Off the air.
Oh, there was. Did you see it? It was incredible.
No, is it Robert Schmeigel?
Schmeigel, yeah.
The thing about that is, I'm sure it was great. We used to have arguments all the time where it's like, if you want to use the giraffe from Toys R Us, you can only have three legs, and his name can't be Jeffrey, and you can't put the bow tie on him, and he can look nothing like, he can't be a giraffe, you can make him a hippo, and then you can call him Jeff. With the legal department, we used to get in these arguments all the time, and then you'd turn on Saturday Night Live, they would actually take stock footage from Fantasia and just put a gay soundtrack, you know, gay porn soundtrack over it, and be like, how do they take Disney footage? And it was always the same answer. Hey, that's them. Hey, they could get sued. How does Robert Smigel consistently, and the stuff's really funny, but how does he consistently just go get stuff and put it on the air?
This was a takeoff of a sort of 60s Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yes,
right.
With the background music that was from those early 60s.
Right.
And Michael Jackson is given a set of glasses that turns any young women into young boys.
Yeah. So he could date women. So on
they
so
all
TV,
look like
he was gone with chicks. Webster.
Right. They all look like Webster.
Webster. Right. And he's sitting at the table with these cartoon Hanna-Barbera type bubbles, and the Elephant Man Bones was actually animated in Tonka, and they were giving him, they were counseling him.
I think I saw
with
that.
The attorney.
with his attorney.
Is it a rerun? Because I think I've seen that one before.
It was. Yeah. It was Jimmy. Jimmy
Fallon.
Fallon was on it, and Cameron Diaz.
Oh, so it was an older one. All right, then I have seen that one. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Excellent. Always
and slanderous, and I've been sued. Boy, it was good.
Have you?
Yes, I have been sued.
Why?
I used to write for this Hot Rod magazine, and I just really what you do here on the radio for the sexual thing, I did for the Hot Rod World, and I wrote about this guy who was basically, you know, in my opinion, was ripping people off, and we tracked it down to like 9 guys. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote this article. Didn't name the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't name him.
Got sued?
Oh, you know, we didn't have to pay anything, but, you know, except for the legal fees, which were about 40 grand.
Oh.
Yeah. So my kid is going to junior college.
I like it when hot rodders argue when they get into that. Look, first off, I'm a Mopar man.
Yeah.
All right? All right. And no better engine than the 441 Rat. And, oh, yeah? Yeah, better best small block, 289. Oh, it's 350. Come on, dude. And they make it seem, first off, they're both about the same, but they make it seem like the other one is just the other one is just a festering boil, and theirs is a beautiful Swiss timepiece.
Like, retarded from another planet, like another time warp. That's the A-body. They didn't even put that motor in the A-body, you idiot.
Yeah, I like that. And then they go to the truck pole, and they get into fist fights in the audience because Chevy's going up against Ford.
Those are my friends, Adam. Thank you. No. Those are the guys I hang with. Nice job.
I like those guys, too. Joe.
Yeah.
You're 15? Oh, no, you're 18, but you have a 15-year-old girlfriend?
Yeah.
Mm. You think you may have gotten her pregnant?
Yeah. Well, we don't take part in intercourse because I want to wait till she's 18, not to...
So this is my request again for somebody who's gotten someone pregnant without intercourse?
Mm.
Is that what prompted your call?
And,
Game show music here, man.
What
happened? Turn your radio off.
Oh. My radio's not on.
Are you a Mormon?
Something's on in the background. What is that?
I got a stereo on. I'll turn that off, though.
Are you a Mormon?
No.
Okay.
No, this is, I want to stay out of trouble here, or I wanted to.
Okay.
But she likes...
God, that's funny.
When
never gets old.
Yeah.
I'll put the head in her just a little bit, you know, so it doesn't hurt her, because she doesn't... Neither one of us want to go on, but she likes this.
Are you a Mormon?
No.
Well, as...
Wait. Neither one of you wants to have intercourse,
and
or?
Yet you're putting your penis inside her.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
As Adam very astutely pointed out, is there really needs to be a force field plane? Everyone needs to understand there are planes. There's plane across the mouth.
Yeah, once
plane
it's broken,
across the
that's
vagina,
it.
A plane
it's like
for
that
the
bell
okay
that goes
sign.
Off when you enter the convenience store.
It just goes off. You violated the plane. That's it. Doesn't matter if it's with a micron, a millimeter, or whatever. It's the plane's violated.
Hey, Joe.
And putting the tip of the penis inside can get someone pregnant.
If you're gonna just put.
Put the backside. Fold it. Fold
it.
Yeah, fold it.
Put the middle in.
But
just stuff that middle part in.
But I didn't come in her, but there was just a bit of pre cum. Now, can you get pregnant from pre cum also?
Absolutely.
It is. It's chock full of semeny goodness, as Drew likes to say.
I often say.
And
by the way, wouldn't qualify this as non penetrative sex. This is sort of penetrative, barely penetrative, but the plane is violated.
But she still had her hymen intact, right?
So what?
She said she's a virgin, right?
Does she have a hymen?
A hymen?
15.
She may not.
No.
She may not.
Joe's not what we're talking about.
A hymen is... are you familiar with like a bongo drum?
Maybe she's a rodeo rider of some sort.
No.
You don't know what a bongo drum is?
I know what a bongo drum is, but I'm not familiar with the inner workings of them.
Of a bongo drum.
Of a bongo drum.
Yeah. Yeah, there's thousands
clitoris,
of parts of those. You ever break one of those down? You can't put them back together.
Never.
It's too many pieces. You got to label them very carefully. Bong part, top part.
And another question was...
Bong and go.
Every once in a while, when I'll eat her out, she'll get...
Mason jar.
She'll get really kind of... she'll start to swell in her...
Are you a Mormon?
No Mormons.
Okay. All right, yeah, she gets a little blood down there. She gets some gorge.
No blood, but it kind of swells. Everything enlarges her.
Yeah. I don't mean blood. I don't mean blood squirting out of
blood
her.
Blood flows.
Yeah. If you're eating her and she's bleeding, you're doing it wrong.
He's
really badly.
He's actually eating her. Actually, physically.
Exactly. At that point.
Worked way up to her shoulder.
We've crossed the line.
Yeah. it's awesome. No, Drew, that's getting someone pregnant, just putting it.
That's plain old getting somebody pregnant.
Yeah.
And... She isn't pregnant, or he doesn't know, but it's possible.
It's possible. It's a good way to get somebody pregnant, put your penis inside, ejaculating or not.
Mm.
I'm looking for somebody who's gotten pregnant with, like, their clothes on.
Or, like, through a car door, something like that. You're looking for the
right.
special one.
Yeah.
Right.
Got it.
And what about...
I have to be convinced, too.
What about through a mail slot? Does that count?
Yeah,
I'm gonna try that.
But again, no penetration.
No, forget it.
Also, the extra, it's like Cirque du Soleil. Then it's an extra step.
Yeah,
sort of acrobatic.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Going through the slot is okay. Pulling out is rough because it's a spring loaded flat.
Oh sure,
that should be cervix du Soleil.
Nice. Let me. Oh, I don't even know what my question is.
No,
let's keep going. Screw it.
Mike 19.
Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening? You're
Mike.
19.
Yeah, I'm 19 years old, but I'm kind of from Long Beach. But the thing is, like, ever since I was, like, young, I used to get teased because I had a slope in my chest. I just want to know, like, what's that all about?
You have, like, an indentation where your chest bone is down?
Yeah, exactly.
It's called a pectus.
I've always been teased about that, but, like, the doctors never told me anything. And my parents
all right, listen. It's a common condition. The abbreviated name is just called pectus, or the longer name is pectus excavatum.
Okay.
And I think if I remember right, it's associated with mitral valve disease, but that's it. It's not a big deal.
Mm.
You may need an echocardiogram of your heart, but that's it. And it's
Why does it affect the shape of your chest?
Yeah. It does. It's just like when you're developing, certain abnormalities develop simultaneously, like deafness and kidney problems go together.
Oh, they do.
They just things are affected at the same stage of development. And
yeah, that's how they know, though. They go, you have kidney problems. And the guy goes, fantastic. Where do you want to eat? And they're like, deafness and kidney problems.
Yeah.
One more question is because I've been drinking for the past year, and when I stopped drinking for about 3 days, like, I start getting a pain in my right side when I'm sleeping, and also I'll start, like, almost convulsing, like twitching and stuff. Does that have to do with alcohol, or?
Yeah, that's called alcohol withdrawal. That's
really?
You're heading towards seizure. You will get a seizure eventually, and recurrent alcohol withdrawal actually damages brain.
That's a lot of drinking for that age.
Yes, for 19. You need to have this treated, Mike. You're going to hurt yourself.
Oh, shoot. Should I, like, check myself in, or should I just, like, quit?
You need to be evaluated at least by somebody who's got the chemical
Mike,
medicines.
You drink that much? How much do you drink a day?
I drink about a six-pack a day during work. Not during work, but during, like, a regular, normal work week. Then usually, like, during the weekends, maybe 2 days out of the week, I just stop drinking. And on the second day that I don't drink, that's when I start convulsing in my sleep.
Tall boys.
Hmm. What do you do for work, Mike?
I actually work for a logistics company.
Mm-hmm.
And you drink all day?
No, he drinks when he gets home.
And anywhere he knows exactly how much. So.
Yeah. All right. Good times. What do you do for a logistics company? And by the way, that's just one of the things you can say and everyone leaves you alone.
19.
Because no one knows anything
consultant.
About
consultant.
Yeah, logistics
19.
Is basically like a, picture it as like a public storage for... like Clorox and all that stuff, like a bunch of companies, you know. They pay you to do the work for them. And
they used to call it forklift drivers,
yeah,
is that what you say?
What are we talking about?
You drive a forklift? Is that what you do?
I'm a logistics consultant. Put those four pallets up there.
Yeah.
Do you drive a forklift?
Yeah, I'm driving a forklift, yeah.
Nice!
Yeah.
Very nice, Drew.
Yeah.
Nice. I love how you put that down. Oh, logistics consultant.
No, it's good. He's got it right. But listen, you're not trying to get in Drew's pants, are you? You can drop the crap.
Logistics, that's pretty much why I drink. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
All right, logistics is not bad. So anytime you have a job where you have to put that pile of crap over on that side of the warehouse, you just go to logistics management consultant.
Oh, my God.
Drags a pallet jack around for a living.
That's a California public school kid right there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, warehousing.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what they should say, because they should just... I'm a product of the Los Angeles Public School District myself. They should have a sign that says, warehousing since 1928. Like, you know, one of those proud things in front? Warehousing your child since 1925, or whenever it began.
Nearly 20 million warehouses since 1945.
That's right. Christina?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yes.
Your friend killed herself?
He killed himself, yeah.
Himself. Yeah, it's always a guy.
Yeah, because women don't usually complete it.
Yeah. Guys. And they want to know why they get 70 cents to our dollar? They can't even kill themselves. Write that down, Drew. Christina, you can use that. I like when people do that. Like, I don't want to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
Use it.
Yeah, you see no one else reacted to it, babe.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving it to me.
Yeah, I have to take that. Christina?
Yeah.
Christina?
Yes.
Is that the phone that dropped off?
Did she hang up?
No, I'm here.
She keeps saying yes.
Maybe she didn't like the joke you made.
You got to speak up, Christine. We can't quite hear you.
Okay.
So your male friend killed himself.
Yes.
And how long ago was that?
February.
And what do you mean he was your friend? How did you know him? How long?
I grew up with him.
And in what way? Is this one of your classmates?
Well, sort of. He's like a family friend, too. He was my best friend.
He was your best friend?
Yeah.
How did you meet him?
Preschool.
You met in the preschool class?
Yeah.
And then the family started hanging out together?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And how long had you seen him before he killed himself? When's the last time you saw him?
A few days.
All right. How'd he kill himself?
He hung himself.
Nice. Yeah. That's usually somebody that's been depressed for a while.
The hanging part.
Yeah, so he must have been being treated for depression or been complaining about things for quite a while, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Phone keeps dropping.
Was that a yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your question?
Another
tonight?
Difficult illness is depression. People forget that somewhere around 1 out of 5 people with depression die of suicide.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, I've had a boyfriend for about 2 years, and since my friend killed himself, I can barely talk to him.
Hmm.
Like, I just don't want to get close to anybody anymore.
Right.
Turn your radio off.
And that's a common thing.
Or television.
Your age, it can be especially shattering when somebody you know dies, whether it's at their own hands or of some sort of natural cause. It's not supposed to happen. You really haven't come to terms with yourself as a biological entity, and having to deal with this, particularly losing somebody you care about, of course, it rattles your cage.
All right, so what should she do?
I would think some sort of grief counseling would do a lot for you.
Is it too late for that?
No.
No, I go to the school counselor weekly.
Great.
All right.
Is she helping you with this?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. What's your stereotypes? How do you know it's a girl? How do you know it's not a fag?
Just screwing with Drew.
Wow.
Night radio. Come on.
So, yeah, stay with the work. You've got to keep working with the therapist. I think a grief group would be helpful oftentimes.
Well, how do you get in there? I mean, what do you do?
I imagine that there must be other people at the school that have issues about this. Maybe
what's coming up for you? What's coming up for you? You know, my sister, Kirsten's last time I was here, actually took her own life.
Hey.
My mom. And she did it very violently. When you said women don't do it, she did it not that long ago, 6 months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Since I was here in November.
Horrible.
She basically took a knife.
Please, Anderson.
Nice. You're like, I'm a comic, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Basically, sure. I don't know what was going on, but her and her boyfriend had broken up, and she took. He was an EMT, and he had a gun in his bedroom, and while he wasn't there, she came in, sat at the end of his bed, put the gun under her chin, and pulled the trigger. And basically, yeah. So what came up six months ago. Yeah, not that long ago.
Wow.
And I know what came up for me. Well, my mom did the same thing. So I'm curious, what's coming up for you?
Your mom had killed herself, too?
Mm. Mm. Yeah, what's coming up for you?
No.
Is she there?
Yeah.
Christina.
Christina?
What do you mean?
Well, what's coming up for you? What? You're going to counseling. I mean, you said you can't talk to your guy. You can't. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? I mean, are you thinking you had something to do with it? You could have stopped it? What are you thinking?
Well, yeah, because I knew that he stopped taking his medication, and I didn't say anything to anybody.
What was he?
What was
the medication?
He had depression.
You know, my mom.
You feel guilty, Christina.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you can't do that. Look,
no.
He's responsible for his own illness.
You had nothing to do with him killing himself.
Yeah, if he would have stopped it and not... If you had told somebody, he would have got angry with you and stopped taking his medicine.
And stopped taking his medicine, and then you'd have been guilty about that. Here's the thing. When we lose someone we love or care about, it always comes back to what could I have done, what could I have done, what could I have done. The bottom line is they had something wrong. It was something wrong upstairs. My mom was schizophrenic, wouldn't take her medication. My sister, she had tried to kill herself 10 years earlier. And at the end of the day... You have to go. You have to know that there's nothing you could have done. There's really nothing you could have done. You could have actually told everybody, put him in a mental institution, and if he wanted to, he would have found a way to kill himself there.
Now, the what your sister did is a alcoholic move.
She wasn't though, man. She was really angry. Isn't it a really angry way to kill? I mean,
yeah,
I was,
but the addicts do that. Did she have? Was she never addicted to pills or anything? Was she a nurse or something?
No, she wasn't a nurse. She was, just it's a lot like my mom in some ways.
How old was she?
6 years younger than me. I don't know, 32.
But so she had never had any other conditions other than the depression and the anger?
You know, she
bipolar.
She, Yeah, I mean, there was stuff going on, you know, and you know, it was, and it just...
Well, don't you think she was, you know...
Didn't call. I mean, again, didn't call.
Well, didn't reach out. Well, first off, it seems like your sister was trying to send a message to her.
Oh yeah,
boyfriend.
It's an acting out.
At the end of his
find her.
It was really odd. Yeah, it was really like
that's why I think alcoholic addict.
And he was freaked. He was freaked. He actually sent me letters that she wrote to me because we had a falling out like a year and a half ago. So and by the way, Christina, you take like we had a falling out like a year and a half ago, and the first thing that came up was, oh my God, had we not had that falling out, she would never have done that. Well, you know, it came up for me too. So just know, you got to know that when someone is depressed or they have a chemical imbalance and they're not thinking right and they stop their medication, there is nothing you could have done, hon.
It's grandiose to think that you're responsible for
it. It is a little self-centered. It is, and we know your heart's not thinking that, but it is a little bit. You know, now what you need to do is take care of you. You need to take care of you.
Which is actually all you can do for the person in the first place.
Right.
You taking care of yourself actually makes you more effective in dealing with them.
Exactly.
All right, so you stay with the counseling at school. Hey, this is a fresh wound. Give yourself a few weeks to heal, too.
2 months. Yeah. I mean, it takes at least 6 months, really, to get over this kind of thing, just to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the thing that's nice, one nice thing when you get a little bit older, actually two nice things. One thing, one nut sack will hang, one nut will hang a little lower.
And twist a little bit, too.
Yeah, I enjoy that. I like the asymmetry.
Yeah, but when yours are, you know... One's half one's inch three off the foot, ground.
The character foot. Twist. Yeah. I call it the character twist. But yeah.
The thing that's nice is you've it's like the seasons. You've experienced a few of them, and you know the summer's coming. You know, when you're 16 and it's raining outside or it's snowing outside, that's just the way it's going to be forever. When you've had a few losses, had some ups and some downs, you've had the experience of actually bottoming out and coming back, and I don't mean bottoming out, but I just mean having a bad couple of months
right,
and then coming
your
out of
show
it.
On Fox because you smart off to the network president, something like that, falling in a bonfire. I got him. I know what she's talking about.
Yeah, and you come back, next thing you know, you're barfing in an F-16.
That's what I'm saying. You come back.
And the point is when you're 16, you feel like crap because your friend killed himself, and you just think, oh, this is it. This is a life sentence. You don't realize the bounce back part. You don't realize how resilient you are, and some people never realize how resilient they are because this gets them at 16. All right, let's take.
Is there a lot of repeaters after something like that? Is there a lot of like people that do it, especially in high school? Yeah, that actually
it's contagious. Yeah,
yeah. Don't let that happen.
Well, here's an interesting thing that we Drew and I spoke about a year ago on the show. I watched this special on people who killed themselves jumping off the San Francisco Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, and. They were able to interview, I think, about three or four people that survived.
Wow.
Because Golden Gate Bridge, by the way, has like 1,000 people kill themselves a year on the Golden Gate Bridge. And they should put a sign on. It's like, you can also drive your cars across it, folks. Get through Sausalito. It's not just for killing yourself anymore. I'd be great with those signs. Yeah.
Not just for killing yourself anymore.
Or if I was like San Francisco, if I was like the mayor of San Francisco, I'd be like, please kill yourself on the Sausalito side.
Yeah.
They can get you out. But the point, and it doesn't count on our tally, but like 1,000 people kill themselves a year on the Golden Gate Bridge. It's such the point that they're thinking about putting a barrier up now, and then other people are pissed, going to screw up the view, whatever. Like three people have survived over the years. And the first thing they say, all the survivors, is soon as they jumped off the thing, they wish they hadn't. And maybe that's just an adrenaline rush. Maybe that's just human instinct kicking in, like survive, you know.
Right.
But that's a horrible thought, the idea that, you know, you're foot and a half away from the railing heading down toward the bay, and you're thinking to myself, bad plan.
I'm an idiot.
I wish I could turn the clock back 4 seconds and get back on the railing. That's the only part that would make a bad situation, you know, even worse. And I do think most people that kill themselves, and I know this sounds trite, but would never do it. We just wouldn't do it in a few months, with the right.
It's actually usually a fleeting impulse.
It is. Yeah. Let's do it.
We put them into locked facilities. We keep them contained for a while, and then it passes.
Yeah. And I don't know. Murder's probably that way, too. Whether it's murdering someone or murdering yourself, if you could get the person and pull them aside for a little time out, there's a decent chance that whatever horribleness was in front of them might not come to fruition. All right. I just think about that horrible, like the other, 10,000 people that killed themselves, that long flight down the water thinking, all right.
Just feeling bad about your decisions.
Bad.
And I'm an idiot.
Bad. And
I already feel bad.
And I screwed this one up, too. If I survive, I'm going to kill myself. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Christopher Titus, the always a provocative, always interesting Christopher Titus in tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You ready? Hey, you know what? Much better.
Titus.
Yeah.
Wow. What don't we get
passionate,
into with
passionate Titus? Man. Passionate man.
He is a man of exquisite passion.
All right.
He's got a motor in him, boy.
And some new jokes.
I'm trying to find any way back to the you can hear those new jokes over at the Alex Theater this Sunday, 7 o'clock. Bill Maher, Joe Rogan is going to be there. Alonzo Bowden is going to be there from the Last Comic Standing. And go enjoy yourself. And the money goes to a great, great charity. And it's not being packed up and shipped across seas. This is going to kids who need it.
You're helping L.A., yeah. People in Los Angeles, the money's going right here to Los Angeles, making a difference in your own community, not some big monolithic charity where you don't know where the hell the money went. But you do know that the person that runs the charity just took their own private jet to a conference in Tahiti.
Right.
That's not going to happen with this one. The money goes directly, 90%, at least, I think the theater costs us $6,000 or whatever. And that's the only thing that's... They cut us a great deal. Alex Theater was great to us. And Skinny Magazine jumped in, and they gave us all this press. And Showtime jumped in, and everybody just really kicked in. It's great.
I want to start a charity called Bus Tickets for Junkies Who Flop in L.A.
There you go.
It's like...
Boy, that would solve a lot of the problem.
Instead of getting you back on your feet and moving you onto the freeway where I can get behind you in my car, let's just get you back to Indiana. Here's a bus ticket, a moist towelette. Here we go.
It's cheaper there anyways. Crystal meth and heroin is cheaper there anyway. Come on. We're doing you a favor.
Here's some trail mix, and let's hit the road there.
I love that you've taken the whole spirit of the charity and just kind of destroyed it. Thanks, Adam.
I don't want to...
And you know what? Oddly enough, your plan seems valid.
I want to triage them and get them on a bus and get them back to wherever they're from. That's my plan. True?
I'll support that.
Yeah. I want to slingshot them, like when a spacecraft goes around a planet.
You're kind of like our catapult again.
You're kind of like the Frank Burns of addiction help.
Yeah, yeah, Frank Burns.
Amber, 28.
Such a hey, what's cracking?
Burns, what's happening?
Nothing much. I got a question for you guys. Big question.
All right.
Check this out. Okay, my boyfriend, he's a breast man, loves his breasts. However, we have a problem. He loves to play with my nipples, but my nipples are really, really sensitive, almost to the point where it's annoying. Now, my question for you is this. Is there any kind of, I know this sounds far out, is there any kind of, like, spray or anything like that? Anything I could use to kind of desensitize him so I don't kind of rob him of his fun anymore?
They have Nipple Off. Isn't it Nipple Off? Do they have that?
Nipple Off. One of the greatest hockey players.
He's from Winnipeg. Nipple Off.
Oh, you're going to Winnipeg? Nipple Off. It's awesome. No one handles a puck like Nipple Off. Nipple Off. Nipple Off. Hey, you're going camping? Don't forget the Nipple Off. Sounds like the world's worst spray. Yeah. The Gisette. What's our Gisler?
Gisler and Gisler.
It's a Nipple Off. All right, now wait a second. Drew, what about a little Ambisol on there? Something
well,
like
yeah, there are
Ambisol.
There are over-the-counter anesthetics like a xylocaine jelly, that sort of thing that might be useful. Maybe you could sort of freeze it with ice or something. I don't know.
Now, the xylocaine jelly would be funny because this guy goes into work and he's like, hey, Herb. She got the desk. Handing him a dry erase board. Got it on with my girl. It drools coming down.
Hey, right. Hibble, Hibble. What?
Hibble off.
All right.
By the way, have you had kids?
No, I don't.
Because my wife used to be like this. And after
before
two kids.
Before kids?
Yes, and after two kids, man.
Oh, they got
things changed.
Not
them
even.
Up.
No,
she's... Yeah.
Yeah, I've been like this like my whole life. I don't know what to do about it.
Are you on hormones? Like birth control pills?
I'm on birth control, but we liked that before, though. That's the problem.
They were like before.
And how are... It's interesting if we can connect this to your sexuality in any way. Like, are you multi-orgasmic?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
True. Do you think if you took 100 women who are multi-orgasmic and good luck finding 100, by the way. I've never seen one, but let's say you found 100. You'd certainly have to go outside of this country to do that, according to my rough data I've accumulated over the years. But you get 100 that are multi-orgasmic, you get 100 that can't have an orgasm. nipple sensation. No different?
I don't think there's a correlation there. Nor do I think Amber's multi-multi. I think she's a sequential.
True hears
sequential.
Multi.
Sequential.
Yeah. I didn't know you had subcategories.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. There's women that can have multiple, meaning like 50 in a row with like 10-second intervals in between. Mm-hmm. And there's women that can have two or three with a few minutes in between. And that's, I think, more Amber's.
And Drew knows it. Like an Indian in a movie knows when there's trouble. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. By the way, has there ever been an Indian that's been wrong? It's like,
no.
What's going on? What's happening, Running Bear? No go. No, he's spooked. Turns out it was nothing. This nothing.
Thunder Bear would like to speak to Amber.
Nah, forget about Thunder Bear. Too tired. Where was she? Yeah. All right, Amber. So are you? Is it multi? I mean, do the orgasms come one after the other?
Or is it just one and then another and another?
Actually, it's like one after the other, depending on how excited I am. You know, there's really no any kind of inhibitions or anything. I mean,
wait a minute.
Water.
So how many will you have in a row?
If we say, for example, we have sex for about 10 minutes, I'd say I'd probably have about 3 or 4. Mm. Yeah, there's no
wrong with that. True. The Indian may be wrong. All right.
And by the way, muchos kudos for actually trying to find a solution. She wants, like, it's not enough that she's having these multiple orgasms. She actually wants to help her boyfriend play with her nipples harder. And that's it. You know what?
Yeah.
It's a rare thing in a woman. Good for you.
Yeah, I would say...
You're a giver.
I would say some xylocaine. What about that?
That's over about all I can come up with. Yeah.
Well, what do they have? What can you buy over the counter?
There's xylocaine jellies, that kind
you
of
can?
Thing.
Yeah. What do they use them for?
Gum soreness and things
so
like
that.
So
is that what that Amosol stuff
has
in it?
Yeah,
so it would numb. It's topical and it would numb whatever it sits
on?
A little bit, yeah.
It might work.
Try it out. Jim?
You just did the equivalent to duct tape and baling wire for a guy working on a car. Nice job. Nice job, Drew.
Yeah.
There's not a lot you can do with that, unfortunately.
Hold on. We got another drug call here, but let's see. Boyfriend gave her 2-year-old nephew a bath. Weird. That's good. This guy's been on hold for 75 minutes.
Right.
Let's talk to him. Get rid of him. Uh-oh. What the hell name is that?
Itai?
Itai, how do you say your name?
Itai.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. You're 13?
Yeah. Oh, my. It's so nice to talk to you. I love you guys so much, Adam.
Thanks, Itai.
You guys are amazing. I love
you. Thank you. Thank you. Where'd you get your name? What kind of name is that?
I was actually from Israel.
Ah.
Israel, huh?
Good. Oh, 13.
Yeah.
So you're now officially a man.
Yeah.
And he can use the phone. Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Here's the thing.
Hold on, Itai.
The whole thing with the bar mitzvah, blacks are a man at 13. Jews got about another 8 years. Nothing better than seeing the bar mitzvah picture with the guy with the braces and the huge Jew fro and the bad glasses, the 110 pounds of elbow and knee, you know, just as spindly and awkward as you could be. You're now a man. Really?
Get on that.
And it's funny, the Jews are a funny culture because you ain't a man at 45 if your mom's still alive. You know what I mean? Like, when does that mom go, here's the keys to the vet, the booze cabinet, you know where that is. Hey, look, we're going out of town for the weekend. You want to bring some ladies, do your own thing. And by the way, hey, if you want to do homework or not, do your own thing. You're now a man. Does that ever happen?
No.
Other cult, like, see, in Mexico, you know what? That's the whole thing. Blacks and Mexicans, they don't even need that you're a man now thing. It's just, you're born, you got a penis, you're a man. Get out. Get busy. Go knock someone up, go to work. Yeah? The Jews ironically feel like they need to have one because otherwise no one would ever catch on.
Like, why do I feel like I need to lay out a disclaimer for even being on the show right now?
No, it's a beautiful thing. I just think it's funny that the Jews have that right in the passage into manhood that way. Yeah?
Right. It was a warrior culture at one time.
And that's when we were only limited to 40.
That's right.
At 13, that's when we limited to 40 again.
Oh, yeah.
We're back
that's
to,
right.
we should be dead at 40.
But then that was, you know, a little bit of inbreeding since those days.
Oh.
8,000 years ago.
Now who's going to get in trouble?
I'm just saying.
Itai?
Yeah. Okay, well, like,
sorry,
I got both your books, Cracked and The Survival Guide to Life and Love.
You read Drew's book.
Yeah, unlike my friends, like Adam, never read my book.
I get the gist.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I walk home from school one day, and it was a half day, and then I go to my dad's house, because my parents are divorced, and my dad's remarried to some bitch, and then...
Cut right to it. Good job, man. He's a man now.
Yeah.
He didn't mince words.
I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And so I walk upstairs, because, like, my dad, I don't think my dad's home, so I walk upstairs, and then, like, my dad and some other guy walks out of my dad's room, and they're not wearing any shoes or socks, and I'm like, what the hell was that? And then like, they just, like, act really embarrassed, and he's like, oh, this is my friend, and then so they go downstairs, and they start, like, drinking coffee or something. Then I just go to my room. And then
all right, wait a minute. You saw your dad and another man leave your dad's room with no shoes on.
Or socks.
Embarrassed. Yeah.
Which does creep you out just a hair more.
But he recently...
Just, like, creeped me out. And then I got home, and then I put on some CDs, and I started thinking about it. I was like, whoa, what the hell were they doing? And then so I haven't talked to my dad about it. I haven't said anything. My dad hasn't talked to me about it. I don't know what to do.
Do you know the guy?
No.
You just appeared, this guy, whoever he was.
Is there some Jewish ritual, the barefoot thing I don't know about?
No.
All right, just checking. I'm not, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. He hit the matzah in there, I guess.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, he was playing hide the matzah.
No.
All right, so look, I think one of the things, or who cares, or what's going on?
No,
well,
no, no.
Obviously, something was going on because it instantly popped the kid.
Here's my question. What's the new wife like? That will give us some information about your dad.
Okay, well, she's, like, really controlling, right? She's nothing like my mom. You know, mom's, like, really easygoing and stuff. And then she's, like, totally controlling. I think she, like, totally owns the marriage and stuff. And she's just like, whatever she says goes, no questions asked.
Mm. Describe us more about it. What's she look like? Yeah.
Oh, she's blonde? Yeah, blonde, really, not too long, you know, kind of overweight, you know,
Jewish or Goyim?
What?
Goyim or Jew?
Jew? Oh, she converted, actually.
Goyim?
Oh, then.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, started out, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Nails?
Long nails?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, do you have any reason...
She in the real estate business?
Wow.
Forget it.
It's like Drew CSI. He's building a profile.
Do you have any reason to suspect that your dad may be gay?
No, not really.
All right.
It doesn't send off alarms for us.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and why...
But what came up for you, man? Was it just that? Is just being 13, or you know, like, I believe in this. Human instinct is pretty. Mm-hmm. At one point, it was really highly tuned, and I don't think we've lost all of it.
Right, you're right.
So, what came up for you, man? I mean, you know, again, it comes in. You know, what did you think when it happened? Is it just weird, or did your mind just start playing tricks later on? When it happened, did you instantly think something was weird, or did your mind you start thinking about it?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, like it was weird, and then I was like, walked to my room, and I was like, whoa, what was that? And then I just kept like thinking like. Were they having sex? Were they jacking off? Were they watching porn or something? And
sure.
All this shit.
Yeah. All right. Did you just drop the S-bomb?
All right. Yeah, well, every time...
This could be bogus.
Every time a man takes his shoes off, that means that they're jacking off.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, all Japanese
watching porn are gay. Or sleeping with each other.
Yeah.
It doesn't... Nothing about it... It doesn't...
I just like to go to Japan and straighten everything out. Look, now, shoes staying on. This is called a fork. No, I'm not eating on the floor with everyone in their
house,
stinky bare
paper?
Feet.
No.
Yeah, unless I'm going to need a little more between me and the guy's room than that sheet of rice paper. Because I make noise when I beat off a lot. And you're going to need a protective barrier a lot more. My scene will eat right through that rice paper.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. The rice paper's not going to stand up.
No, there has been rice paper built that can hold me. You know, some guys announce that about prisons. I announce about beating off in rice paper. I stick with it. Let me just, I don't know why, remind me of a joke making fun. I'm already in trouble with the Jews and the Mexicans and the blacks and everything. Who cares? But I was hosting that Comedy Central bar mitzvah bash thing.
Good job, by the way. I remember I was here right before you went and did that. You were working on material. Good job. I saw that. Nice
job. Thanks. So polite, so supportive, Christopher is. And, it's not my normal thing to go out and do stand-up.
And people don't understand how hard that really is. If you're not normally a stand-up, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
It's one of these things that if you do it once a year, you may as well just not ever do it, really. It's sort of like going to the plate once a year and then going back singing the dugout for the rest. It's like, yeah, I don't think we can do anything. But anyway, There was one joke in there that I always thought was funny. I don't tell too many jokes, but I think Snoop Dogg was doing the show, and it was a big bar mitzvah thing. And I'd mentioned that the Snoop Dogg's going to be on the show tonight. And the black man doesn't have the bar mitzvah, per se, but he has his own ceremonial passage into manhood. It's called being tried as an adult. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, lots of groans.
Oh. Wow. Kinda, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Edgy. Edgy.
You're on the edge, man.
On steroids. On steroids.
Yeah, it's like your dad's sitcom, but on steroids. Yeah. Christopher Titus is in studio tonight. We'll take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Gerald McCraney, and
I got a vest with a lot of pockets in it, so I'm authorized to talk about war.
Huh?
If you got a vest with a lot of pockets in it, you can talk about almost anything, and everyone will listen.
Hunting or wars.
Whatever. More pockets on the, you can just, a zebra run 43 miles an hour. Human man can only top fastest man. You could wax on about BS. It's the same thing if you put a tape measure on your belt. You walk in any building. No one will stop you.
That's right.
Guy could come in your front door 4 a.m, so he had a tape measure on his belt, walk right past you. Christopher Titus is in studio tonight. That's how he got in. He put a tape measure on.
I saw that.
That's how I came in, man.
He has himself a little charity, and it is a worthy cause, and all the money, 97% is going to the people that need it, namely the homeless runaway.
All except for $6,000.
Well, we had to pay for the theater, but that's all. If you want to check it out, www.alextheater.org, or go to charityontheedge.com. And we just said, Bill Maher is going to be doing his. Basically, he's doing is what he's going to do for his HBO special. He's working on it, and he's been doing that. And Joe Rogan's going to be there from Fear Factor and News Radio, who's hilarious. I'll be emceeing, and Alonzo Bowden, who won Last Comic Standing, will be there. Did you know they actually canceled the show before they announced the winner?
Oh, really?
The last episode.
Oh, my God.
NBC pulled the show.
I always wonder how that works out financially. Like, remember we'd have someone in here from, what was that show with Bo Derek where it was filmed in Maui?
Remember that? Yes.
Wind on Water or something.
Or maybe that was $4 million an episode.
Yeah. Each episode was like shooting a medium budget film.
Yeah, in Hawaii.
Like Maui or something. She, soaring helicopter shots and everything, volcanoes going off. They get, 10 of them in the can. They air the first three, and then, they pull the plug. Like, oh, what are you doing with the other? This is $3 million. Put them on. What are you doing? Nah, just going to sit on a shelf. It's crazy, the economics.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
All right.
Hey, you know what? Thank God for it, because I sold 3 TV shows this year. The first one, wrote it, got paid for it, so getting paid for it. They put it, it's on the shelf. Second one, I'm waiting for May, which is a special unit. Have I told you a special unit? You got to hear this.
No.
I wrote this for Showtime. It's a 1.5-hour comedy. Basically, it's a guy like the Shield, like Vic Mackey, this really badass cop.
Like the Shield.
Yeah, kind of like that, who's pissed off everybody. He's made the mayor mad, and his captain mad, and I am. Actually, the opening scene, he punches
Captain's
a guy from...
big African-American guy?
No, who screams a lot. No, yeah, I actually tried to avoid it. Oh. He's a small Jewish guy who collects Hummels. and the opening scene, he punches one of the IA guys in the throat, goes back. We find out that due to the Fairness and Disabilities Act, that the LA Police Department started this thing called the Handicapable Cadets. And after 3 years, none of them got put on the force, although their test scores were higher than some of the guys that did.
Is this true?
So somebody sued, and basically I am assigned 4 handicapped undercover detectives that I got to train. It's called Special Unit.
Wow. Oh, nice. Special. Nice. Yeah.
Special Ed Unit. Huh?
I like
special
that.
Unit on steroids.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, and it's funny, man. I wrote the script, and they like it, so I'll hear it in May.
When might it come on the air?
If they go in May, September, hopefully. It's pretty wild.
What's the third one?
Huh?
That's
the third one. The third one is for FX, and I'm still. It's called The Second Cousin. It's about a guy who actually believes. It starts out in a mental hospital. A guy who believes he's the second cousin of Christ, and he goes out in the world, tries to make things better. And you find out as the series progresses that he was actually a corporate lawyer for the cigarette companies, the drug companies. And he just went insane.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to make it better.
So you want to pitch Pedophile Island to Christopher? Or
Isle of Child.
Child, nice.
No, it's Pedophile.
Oh, that's right, Pedophile, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It's the year 2015.
Vastly, everything's changed.
New York maximum security prison. We've taken our pedophiles and we put them all on an island because we can't execute them, but they keep, repeat offenders. We don't know what to do and they're on an island. a plane full of Cub Scouts coming home from a jamboree in Barbados crashes into the island, and, you know, you do the math, but awesome. Awesome action film. And the ultimate action, I mean, the ultimate
film.
Like,
why waste it on a
series?
Well,
series.
That's a 5-year series,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, because, like, most of these movies, like, if the bad guy catches you, he's going to kill you. This, worse. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You wish you're dead.
Ugh. Do the Cub Scouts band together and become an elite fighting force?
They use their skills. Like, the one guy's a merit badge and fire starting. And the other guy has a merit badge and, you know, throwing knives.
But they strangely form a government.
Yeah.
And the government gets a little off base.
No, that's not what happens.
No, that's Lord of the Flies.
True. We wanted to call this Lord of the Guys.
read the one sheet before you start talking at it.
Yeah, you guys got to work on this before you take it into the pitch, because Gail Bourbon left Fox, so you guys are, I think we should take this in.
We're going to hammer out some of the beats, and then we'll bring it in there. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Christopher Titus here tonight, and we'll be right back after this. Well, that's it. I want to thank Christopher Titus for coming in tonight, and tell everyone to go to www.alextheater?
Yeah, alextheater.org or charityontheedge.com, and then check it out, man. Bill Maher's going to be, it's going to be a great show. And by the way, no live auction or nothing. You're just going to see a good comedy show, and your money's going to charity.
All right. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
And then I go to my dad's house because my parents are divorced, and my dad's remarried to some bitch.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.